With any 20th century opera, the composer has been dealing with alternating meter and oftentimes tricky vocal lines that dance around the key pitch or have many accidentals. So we always start by reviewing the music and making sure we are all on the same page with conductor and pianist and artist. Where are we breathing? What's the tempo? How far are we stretching something? What's the new tempo going to be like? Is it really the same, or do we need it a little bit different? Can we understand the words? And also to help with memory.
How wrong to rob a heart of a beating. It's not how wrong to rob a beating heart. How wrong to rob a beating heart of time and space.
Bigger
the
idea.
The whole thing
I
is
see.
Going like this. It's not going like this. Dark, how desperate, how this, how this. How wrong to rob a beating heart of time and space.
Even better.
Beauty's the hardest gift to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Harder than death to stay.
Great. And all of these people are doing these roles for the first time, save Richard Stilwell. And they, you know, need to kind of put the sequences together. And so that's where we start.
Well, it's the most insecure thing for her.
Mm.
It's the most, obviously she's covered up everything, because in this moment of great fragility to me,
mm-hmm.
this is the greatest moment of admission that you have no idea of how hard it is to try to even stay beautiful when you don't even know if you're beautiful anymore, is what she's trying to
yeah.
say to him. It's not a...
Vanessa's music is very different throughout the opera. It starts very angular. It starts with great leaps, very chromatic. Within the first aria, Do Not Utter a Word, that she addresses to Anatole, the son, that she doesn't know is the son, you have an extreme amount of very, very close, almost instrumental chromaticism. But somehow, altogether, it makes a smooth, glassy surface, a false surface of actually shimmering beauty over this very tense woman that explodes in a center section of passion with the full orchestra and big Puccini-like chords, and where she says, you know, it's been so hard, you have no idea how difficult it's been for me, how you could take, rob a soul of its very life. The aria itself concludes with, again, her pulling back, as usual, into that glassy, shimmering surface in which to control herself. Becomes more melodic and more beautiful and more Puccini-esque, Strauss-esque as the opera continues, and actually finishes on a very soft, feminine, low note.
Oh! May I take your arm?
Yes.
I just have a question on the table because it was very,
back
very
to before the
lots of pieces are written much more melodically and even harmonically, where the orchestra leads each character into the new tonality.
And it's band.
In this piece, the singers often lead the orchestra into the new tonality. So harmonically, it's very challenging. Rhythmically, it's very challenging. It changes meter constantly, and not 3-4, 4-4, 2-2. We're talking 5-4, complex meters.
It's a terribly complicated score, but it's one which ideally will sound to the audience as if it just is, unfolding as it should in the best kind of time and space. What's really happening in the score itself are many, many tempo and time signature changes, many, many key changes. Barber was an amazing orchestrator, and he does things with the woodwinds and with the brass, always underpinned by the tapestry of strings, at least most of the time, which are quite amazing.
Vanessa takes place in an unnamed northern country. It could be the Norway of Henrik Ibsen, it could be the Russia of Anton Chekhov, it could very well be the Denmark of Isak Dennison. And we see three ladies, three generations of women in this house, the Baroness, her daughter Vanessa, and Vanessa's niece Erica. And Vanessa has been waiting 20 years for the man she loves to return. And he is returning this very night, only it is not Anatole Sr., but Anatole Jr. Vanessa responds poorly to the discovery, and Anatole, because there's a raging snowstorm outside, does intend to stay the night and ends up seducing Erica. But Erica will not marry him because she does not want to harm Vanessa's happiness. And we watch the who does what to whom is not as important as what the characters go through. Barber illustrates this with the music, and the language is a mannered poetry, if you will, by Giancarlo Menotti. And so do not utter a word, or must the winter come so soon, definitely has a poignancy to it and a rhythm all its own.
So as far as the musical impetus here, what would you like to see there?
I was thinking a defiant of, I will not be leaving right now. Something that will let us all know that you intend to stay.
Whenever I'm working with actors and drama, I try and make them hear the music in the line. And likewise, when I'm working with opera singers, we try and get them to understand the text that goes to these beautiful sounds that they're making. And this cast, every single one of them has come in and really focused on this text, making it clear and also making it part of their character.
I think because I'll change begins when love has died is probably where it would move away. Because you're setting up for Tell Me How It's All Views
Told. What she's saying now is actually the action line, don't you think? Don't you? I find from where what she says, unless you still love me, I do not want you to see me, Anatole. To me that's detrimental because I'll change. I mean, that's the result of her
There's the verb.
Line.
There's the verb. Okay.
If you don't.
Vanessa as a character to talk about is quite a complicated issue. She is in great tension of anticipation, happiness, almost a childlike want to control every tiny thing that she can because there is no control in the character of Vanessa. Her only control is to box herself in a tight ball. As the opera unfolds, we see Vanessa blooming more and more, but as the audience and as any observer can see, the blooming is actually all within her mind because the Anatole is not really Anatole. He's not the same man in any way, shape, or form, but that would not matter at this point to Vanessa because what she sees is only what she has unleashed from her tiny prison in her mind. So her character is very feminine, very neurotic, very fragile, extremely passionate, probably living for the passion of every moment.
The role of Anatole, he's complex. One could see him as a cad. I don't think that he's purely a cad. He's multidimensional. I think he has come there for one reason, to claim his destiny, to claim his fortune. And then we are introduced to a side character, who is Erica. And that's a new twist in the equation, because I think he truly does fall in love with Erica. But it is also an opportunity to claim his fortune if it doesn't work out with Vanessa.
What he should claim.
Anatole arrives. I think she sort of sees him on that white horse in shining armor and maybe sees something that isn't really there. I think she's a very responsible person. I think she is incredibly loyal to her family, and she knows they need her. And she couldn't, which ultimately is why she makes the decision she does and doesn't accept Anatole's proposal. Number one, because she couldn't do that to her aunt Vanessa, who's so fragile. It would destroy her. And she is a good enough person, even though she would love to run after her own happiness, she's a good enough person to think about her aunt Vanessa. No, she just can't do that to her. And then also that she has this responsibility. Once Vanessa goes off with Anatole, someone must take your place now, is one of her lines. You know, she cannot be left alone. So she decides that she'll spend the rest of her life caring for her grandmother as long as she's around, and probably caring for the home.
Thank you.
mezzo circles, it's become like the national anthem of mezzo arias. Do you have something in English, dear? And it's always Must the Winter Come So Soon. And it's a stunningly beautiful aria, but within the context of the opera, it just comes and goes. It's not some big, you know, big thing, and, you know, showstopper type thing. And I love doing it within the context of the piece because it makes so much more sense. You have to be very careful with the Baroness, and I think with all the characters in this opera, to put yourself back in time and not to come into rehearsal with yourself and 2005 in your mind, because it does you no good. You have to get over that very quickly. And you go back and you react and act in the scenes to what is happening as you would in that period. And that, for an elderly woman, who the Baroness, I would say, is somewhere 75 to 80, somewhere in those years. And funny enough, a lot of her attitudes aren't that much different than that age person today. The things that she expects from Vanessa, who is one generation, and Erica, who is a younger generation, really come down to family values and producing an heir. Now that is done, and she wants this done at apparently all costs. And if it doesn't happen, then she really, we would say, writes them off. She doesn't talk anymore. She has little to say, and what she says is to the point.
My poor child, love never bears the image that we dream of. When it seems to sleep, my love, whither shall we fly? Where shall we sleep, my love, whither shall we fly?
I love, of course, the big dramatic sings and all that, but the charm for me is the doctor.
Toad has swallowed the key to my door.
Ah, charming, charming.
Give me your hand, and I'll show you the steps. Right foot first, back, then left, forward, slide. 1, 2, 3, reverse, 2, 3.
Onward, with a dream, to dark sky, to the sky.
Doctor is a marvelous character role. It's not a walk-on bit part. He calls him the old doctor. When I did it in St. Louis about 18 years ago, Menotti came. He said I did a great job. He said he thought I was a bit too young for it. So I'm sure that he would agree that now I'm the right age. I think he thinks himself urbane and knowledgeable. I think he's probably, however, kind of provincial.
I think he longs to escape his northern country. Perhaps at the end we hear him talking wistfully about Paris and, oh, to be able to go there. So I get the feeling that he perhaps has read a lot of travel books and whatnot, but he feels trapped where he is. And I think to a large degree because of the family that Vanessa's family that he's grown up with and cared for all these years. And he reflects on that in a little arioso that he sings about remembering how he had taken care of Vanessa when she was a child and had the measles and mumps and chicken pox and all these diseases.
Once a child, Vanessa, do you remember the mumps, the chicken pox, the scarlet fever? How many
is out of naturalism and out of time, perhaps harking back to neoclassical dramas of Racine, which in their turn was harkening after Sophocles and Aristophanes and there, going back to the Greeks. And in the final act, we come full circle a little bit. There is an actual Greek chorus that Barber has included, where all the characters address their personal thoughts directly to the audience. And so stylistically, that must have been one of the anchors of the story for them, and therefore becomes one of the anchors of my production.
It starts in such a beautiful, soft, lyric way. I believe that all the characters in this opera are going in the same direction they think. The Greek chorus part comes when we start to nod as our characters and exactly in choral formation to comment on each of us. That in itself is almost the most revealing because it's as if we've finally, but not as the characters, we have finally been able to face the truth. Poor Vanessa, she's got an imposter. Oh, Erica, her life is lost. These old people, you know, we hope they die before they forget how to dream. Basically, it is one of the most beautiful pieces, probably in all of opera, and certainly one of Barber's finest works.
There's this power struggle throughout the entire piece. Is it Erica? Is it Vanessa? And at which points do all of the characters involved decide to look at the truth of the situation, or as the case may be, avoid the truth?
It's really soap opera time, but fun and interesting.
The language is certainly easier to understand in Vanessa, but the music is haunting and sweeping and beautiful. And I think the story is, when I was relating it actually to a hairdresser the other day who is coming to the performance, she said, well, tell me about Vanessa. And I said, well, it's this woman who has an affair, and then a son shows up she thinks is really going to be the father. But the son has an affair with the niece. And she said, oh, my God, it's just like modern. I said, well, yes. She said, kind of like a soap opera. I said, kind of. I said, but more deep. And you're likely to come away with more of a charismatic feeling for an everyday soap opera if you come to Vanessa than if you watch one of those soap operas during the day.
It's after the fermata. You've just said, maybe if you'd give us, that is good. There's your genius.
That is good.
Yes, that worked very well. Thank you very much. And you see why it's so important. If you drag it out,
now
we can go ahead, but it doesn't.
Wait.
Yeah.
I got you.
Thank you very much, Randy. Folks, I'm here for questions, but I want to thank you immensely. I'll see you tomorrow night at 7:00.